In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, as a priest, there are certain questions which you get on a regular basis, and one of those is about exorcisms. Sometimes the people who ask are worried that someone they know, or perhaps even they themselves, are possessed by a demon. But more often their interest is intellectual. They're curious about what possession is and how the church deals with it. And of course, the first thing to tell them is that demonic possession is really a rather rare phenomenon. There are, in fact, evil spirits which can affect human minds and human emotions. And it's important to realize this fact, because the first thing that the devil will try to do is to convince you that he doesn't exist, and then he will be free to manipulate you in any way he wants. But true cases of demonic possession are rare. And the church is careful to make a full psychological and physical testing to determine whether or not the problem is of natural or supernatural origin. And exorcisms cannot be done by just anyone, not even any priest. Canon law stipulates that exorcisms must be performed by a trained exorcist, and only then with the permission of his bishop or religious superior. But aside from those unusual cases of true demonic possession, there are many cases of demonic influence, of evil spirits at work in individual minds and in human society in general. I've just come back from vacation up north, and it's sad to see how corrupt large segments of our society have become. Somehow I always get that feeling when I'm away from Greenville for any length of time. I don't know quite why. Sensuality and vice are rampant in the major media and in movies and television. But not only that, there is also a genuine hatred of purity and innocence of the church and all it stands for. In a thousand different ways, in the law courts, in the arts, in legislation, traditional Christianity is under assault. The Western world is morally sick, and it is only going to get sicker because it does not recognize its illness. And the reason why the church is so important and so hated is because we do recognize the existence of evil spirits and try to do something about them. Exorcisms in cases of demonic possession are, as I said, fairly unusual, but exorcisms in a more general sense are a normal part of the life of the church. For example, every time we bless the holy water, which we keep in the narthex and in the fonts, we say prayers of exorcism. And we place a small amount of salt into the water as we bless it, because salt represents wisdom and cleansing and purification and healing. There is also an exorcism in the rite of entrance into the church, the sacrament of baptism. And in fact, the rite of exorcism in the traditional liturgy of baptism is based on the cure of the deaf and dumb man, which we heard in today's gospel. Thus, in the traditional baptismal ceremony, the priest puts a little salt into the child's mouth, and in the name of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he commands the unclean spirit to withdraw from the baptized person. And then he takes a little saliva and touches the ears and nostrils of the child with it, and says, "Ephetheta," which means be open. Open your heart to the things of faith, to the healing power of God in your life. And thus the soul passes from the death of sin in which it was buried and which made it deaf and dumb to the supernatural world into the new life and the new light of faith. By restoring us to the divine life for which we were created, baptism takes away the stain of original sin and unites us with our Lord's resurrection, allowing us to share in the joy and the beauty of his eternal life. And so we rejoice in God our helper and sing aloud to the God of Jacob, who has done such great things for us and whose mercy and kindness are everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.